WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and, you know, you're checking stuff out, you know, go over to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening on Twitch, you can subscribe for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe. No cost. Thanks to Twitch Prime. Prime Gaming. Whatever it's called now. Just do the thing. Hit the button.
It's Boots the Asses time.
Thanks so much for the subscription, Matt. He's signed up for 30 days. You can, too. All you got to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
That was 18 months.
PogChamp. 18 months?
PogChamp. It's a weird PogChamp emote today.
But I like that it rotates now.
Yeah, it's cool. It's different.
It changes every day. It's special.
It's special.
Anyway, we have a lot to get into on this show. We're going to be talking some news, notes, NXT, Tweet of the Week is back. We are back to form, back to the regular show, and yeah, I say we don't waste any time when we jump right into the news, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Where do you want to begin?
Well,
it's all broken down for you.
I see that. I say, let's start with Impact and work our way up from there, because Impact has the most, so we'll start with them. Madison Rayne has announced that she is departing from Impact Wrestling and she might be done with wrestling. That's only speculation, because she's taken a job outside of the business.
She's been going to school for a while, and she's putting her degree to use, as the phrase goes, and she's left the Impact Wrestling announced team to take a job outside of the business. To do something in Nashville, I think, or in the Tennessee area. So good for her.
I mean, that's great for her. I mean, I know she studied very, very hard to get her degree, and she should absolutely put it to use and do do that if that's what she wants to do. Good luck to her.
Yeah.
Also, leaving the announce desk is Josh Matthews. He's been promoted to a behind-the-camera position as a producer, and he's also signed a new contract with the company. So lots of changes there behind the announce desk for Impact.
He's going to be working on the TV show and all the digital stuff, and he's now a producer. It's every time they've done a stipulation where, hey, we're going to take him off the announce desk, he stayed because they had no one to replace him. Ladies and gentlemen, they have found a replacement. Your teacher, Matt Stryker.
And
it's the real deal. It's the real deal now.
So Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown will be replacing Madison and Josh as they both move on in their career. So congratulations to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt debuted at the last pay-per-view, Slammiversary, and he worked the pre-show. And D'Lo's been working backstage forever since the new management took over at Impact. So he's now back on screen. Everyone remembers D'Lo Brown from his WWE days back in the Attitude Era with the chest protector and the bobbing head. And then he was a part of the Aces and Eights in the old Impact Wrestling.
So he's moving on up.
Mm-hmm.
Impact also announced that they are launching a streaming channel on XUMO featuring 1,000 hours of new and classic original content. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Sami Callihan has also signed a new contract with Impact. So congratulations to him.
So is Brian Myers.
Yep, he's sticking around as well.
Big news. I didn't know after just being there for 3 months, you get a new contract, but hey, new contract. Woo!
He probably signed like a temp deal they were looking to see how he was going to work out kind of thing, or maybe he was looking to see how they were going to work out and he was happy, so everybody involved was pleased, so they signed the deal. That's probably what it was.
It's a new deal now.
Hey, yes it is. And then some interesting news real quick coming out of ROH. This is a pretty big story from back over the summer, but it's a follow-up. Marty Scurll came under scrutiny and investigation during the Me Too movement over the summer in wrestling, where he was accused of doing some not nice things to people. And Sinclair
That's putting it lightly.
I don't know how else to put it. And basically, Sinclair looked into it. And interestingly enough, Marty Scurll and ROH have now parted ways permanently. There is no information in terms of the investigation, what was found, if the allegations were true. He just very quietly sort of left Impact and made no kind of real statement in terms of what his future is going to be.
So if he was just a member of the Ring of Honor roster, it would be one thing, they would have cut him right away. He had a deal as management, so they had to do the full-on corporate investigation before letting him go.
I would say, seeing as they parted ways, it's either they asked him to leave because they found it to be true, or he left of his own accord just because it was not a good experience. Because once you get accused of something like that, it typically follows you, especially in the corporate world, for the rest of your career. And so in that instance, it's just probably better to leave and go somewhere else. There is no word on where he's going as of yet. I think
no one's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was going. I think a lot of people want to see him in AEW, but I don't think they're going to touch him.
No.
I don't think WWE is going to touch him. I don't think anybody's going to touch him, not with the accusations that flew. So we'll have to see where he goes from there. Hopefully he lands somewhere and it's a good solid landing for him. Speaking of AEW, though.
Yes.
There's some news coming out of AEW.
Yes.
Some award-winning news.
Yes, there is. AEW has announced in production with TNT, they're going to produce the first annual AEW Dynamite Awards, available exclusively on the Bleacher Report app on the 27th of January, right before Dynamite starts, so 7 p.m. On that Wednesday, it will feature... Let's see. We have the categories. So we're waiting for them to open. The categories feature Best Moment on the Mic, The Biggest Surprise, The Breakout Star of the Man for Males and Females, The Biggest Beatdown, The High Flyer Award, The Biggest WTF Moment, The LOL Award, The Best Twitter Follow, Bleacher Report Pay-Per-View Moment of the Year.
Wait.
What?
Wait. The Best Twitter Follow?
Uh-huh. Who has the best Twitter account?
That's a thing?
That's a thing you can vote for.
No.
Bleacher Report Pay-Per-View Moment of the Year. And so we've had LOL Moment, Twitter Follow. Here's the last one for you. Hardest Moment to Clean Up After.
Ew! Ew! Why would you make that an award? Why? Why is that a thing?
You can go to AEWAwards.com. And vote.
Don't encourage that. I mean, encourage the awards, but don't encourage the... The Messiest Moment Award, ew.
So AEW has their own Slammy Awards. Yeah.
When? I get. Well, Matt, we don't know that didn't happen. It just didn't happen on camera. And speaking of things getting messy.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, you know, in a little while, things are going to get a little messy because there's a new baby coming. And new babies always bring with them joy and wonder and stinky smelly diapers and that kind of thing. But it's I'm sure it's very, very happy news for Rebby and Matt because they are expecting their fourth child. And joining the bevy of boys is a bouncing baby girl.
They have the hearty girl.
They have the hearty girl. I'm so happy for Rebby. I know she would love her children anyway, and there's nothing wrong with having all boys, but I think she really maybe kind of wanted a girl. I think she's really excited about it. So that's good for her. That's good for Matt. That's good for everybody. Congratulations to them. I hope it's a very smooth, easy pregnancy for her, and there's no complications.
True.
And now, WWE, because I have no transition.
I can give you a transition.
You can give me a transition? What's a transition?
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Brent broke Kofi Kingston's jaw.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Or I should say injured. It's not broken, right? Or is it broken?
I don't know if it's broken. It's just injured.
It's just injured. Kofi was not at TV this week, and he is at home recuperating, so feel better soon. Kofi. It's just, I felt bad for Woods, honestly. I'm going to be real. I felt really, really bad for Xavier Woods because, like, he's out there all on his own.
He is. He's out there all on his own.
Like, they split E out. Kofi's injured, and then there's Woods. There's poor Woods. He's just by himself. Like, that's not cool.
And he just came back.
And he did. He just came back. So up next, speaking of babies, speaking of hard work, Maryse Mizanin has a lot to be proud of in general.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, she has this. She has just one more accomplishment to add to her many lists. Her brand new skincare product with Volition has been picked up by Sephora and is available for purchase. I believe it's either available now or it will be available very, very soon. So please go check that out. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I actually kind of want to try it when my moisturizer runs out, just to see if it's any better than what I do use now. Because like I said, I've heard a lot of really good things. But congratulations to her. I know she's worked really super hard on it. And this is a passion of hers, so she has to be just over the moon excited about it. And speaking of new launches, The Rock has just yet another accomplishment to add to the very long list of things that he's done. And he's launched a brand new energy drink called ZOA. Z-O-A. I'm assuming that's how you say that.
That's how I would have said it. Anyway, so, good job.
So congratulations to him. I don't know. I got nothing to say on it. WWE has announced the Superstar Spectacle, which will air in India on Tuesday, January 26th.
Yeah, that's Republic Day in India. They've been planning this whole India special for a while. It's going to feature all the Indian talent they have on the roster, including Jinder Mahal. And there's going to be, I believe, some top-tier talent on the show as well, even though they're promoting one of them who may not appear based on taping dates. That's your transition to our next story.
Yeah, because now we're going to talk about one of the big stories of the week. It was kind of followed up by a rather casual drop that we're going to talk about in the back half of the show. But on Monday, it got announced that Drew McIntyre tested positive for COVID-19. One, we hope Drew recovers. He seems like, at least in the videos, he was doing okay. I think they said he might be asymptomatic.
That's what he said on TV, yes.
But in any case, I hope he feels better. I hope he recovers okay and he has no lingering lasting effects. This is huge because this is really the first public announcement that WWE has made in terms of a positive COVID test. In the past, when people test positive, they just sort of disappear from TV for 2 to 3 weeks and then they come back.
Mm-hmm.
This was, especially since he was in the program with Goldberg and the show on Monday was supposed to center around him and Goldberg, They went ahead and made the announcement that Drew had tested positive. He was not going to be there. They filmed videos with him, and then they restructured the show, and we got what we got on Monday. This is concerning because this puts Rumble into question. Now, all things willing, he's fine. He's okay. There's nothing to worry about. But there is a chance that his match at Rumble may not go ahead if he's not okay. So let's just all hope and pray that Drew's all right. But this, like I said, this is huge.
It is. It's a big story, and you hope he comes out of it okay, and there's no lingering effects. We all know firsthand that there can be. And, yeah, hopefully he's very asymptomatic, and you go from there.
Well, I think the biggest one is he can't necessarily train.
It's awkward to train, depending, so, you know.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how it goes once he's recovered. And with that, I say we do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
By the way, the Jets hired a new coach. Congrats to them.
Yeah, good job. As well to Jacksonville. Urban's going back to Florida.
Yay. But speaking of yay, it was Shotzi Blackheart and Candice LeRae to open up the show.
I mean, I can think of worse ways to open up the show.
I mean, we've seen a lot worse. This was pretty good.
I wouldn't mind seeing this again with a little bit more behind it. I know it has a story there, but just for them to heat this back up a little bit more. And I think they will. But yeah, this is a great opening. Yeah, I thought it set a great tone.
Yeah, Indy Hartwell playing a factor like she always does.
Mom and the kids.
We had Finn Balor. He talked about how he's had a great match with Kyle O'Reilly, but how Kyle's not at the Balor level and how Riley stepped up, but he was put down again, and well, now Kyle's eating meals through a straw. He says he has red X on his chest because of the target on him, and he said the manufacturers have run out of cloth that Balor is cut from. Up came Pete Dunne, Odie Lorcan, and Danny Burch, and he said it's only a matter of time before our past cloths. You said we'd get in line. Well, he's no longer getting in line. He's out here to fight, and it was a 3-on-1. Finn held his own until Kyle and Undisputed Error made the save.
This was interesting.
How so? Please elaborate.
I just find it interesting that the group that Pat McAfee was helming, they've removed him from, and I understand he's a special attraction, but it's just very interesting to me that they removed Pat McAfee from the Kings of NXT, and they're making Pete Dunne the front man.
Which is good.
Which is good, which is exactly what you need to do. No offense, Pat. But I found one that's interesting, and two, that Undisputed Era made the save for Balor.
Did they make the save for Balor or for Kyle? Because Kyle ran out first. The other two jumped in after.
Well, they were probably chasing Kyle and they ended up helping Finn. That's probably how that worked.
That's what the babyface roster does, because they're now babyfaces.
It's very strange, but yeah. And also interesting to note, Kyle was in all black. Pete's group was in all black.
She's reading too much into it.
I'm not reading too much into it.
She's reading too much into it.
I'm not reading too much.
She's definitely reading too much into it.
But yeah. This was, I like this. This was really good. It kind of set things up for later in the show. But again, I like that they're making Pete Dunne a threat. They should absolutely have him be a threat to Balor, because if anybody can take Finn, it's Dunne. And yeah, I cannot wait to see that match.
So I want you to talk all about Dexter Lumis's drawings that were given to Johnny Gargano.
Well, Austin Theory got a present from, you know, Dexter Lumis.
Mm-hmm.
And so Austin, being the good son, he takes them to his father, Johnny, and he presents them to Johnny in the middle of the interview, where Johnny's just a tad upset. But he opens his son's present because he's a good dad. And well, Johnny didn't really like the present. Because in one picture, it's him as a caricature being all mad with steam coming out of his ears and everything. And then, you know, Austin, he kind of gets mad at Austin and he's yelling at Austin and, you know, saying some not so nice things to him. And then he whips out a second picture because Austin doesn't understand why this is a bad thing that, you know, Dexter drew a picture of Johnny because he thought it was fine. And it's a picture of essentially Austin getting shot in the balls by Shotzi Blackheart's rocket from last week. And now Austin understands why Johnny was so upset. And well, Johnny, you know, Johnny was not happy with our resident artist and challenged him to a match.
So, also in the promo, he was talking about losing to Kushida last week. He wrestled in skinny jeans and they don't have any breathability.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You can fix that. You just don't wear skinny jeans.
But he wants to look good.
You can look good and not have your skinny jeans.
this is true, but he wanted his skinny jeans.
Like, here's the thing. You could get probably, like, regular bootcut jeans that fit you and get them altered to be skinny jeans. Just throwing that out there.
The Dusty Rhodes Classic began with the grizzled young veterans taking on Everrise.
There's some interesting teams this year on the men's and the women's side. This was a match. It was good. Grizzled Young Vets picked up the victory, which is no great surprise, I think, to anybody. It's actually good to see them kind of back because I think they've been missed.
Then you had Johnny and Dexter in a match.
I want to know what hair care products Dexter Lumis uses, because that man's hair barely moved. Like, barely moved. It was only a little messed up at the end from where they, like, Johnny had been grabbing at his head, but, like, for the most part, that stuff was just solid. The whole match, like, it stayed where it was told to stay, which I appreciate. Let me tell you why. Because it's like, and I'm sure it's not meant to be like that, but it probably is, where he's got it on that level that he has such personal self-control in the character that, like, even his hair doesn't move. Like, it's perfectly coiffed, always perfectly groomed. You never see Dexter Lumis's roots. Like, I respect and appreciate it so much. It's not VO5. No, it's not VO5. VO5 does not hold your hair like that. VO5 moisturizes. This is like some pomade, hairspray, black magic going on in Dexter Lumis's hair. Like, the match itself was actually really good.
Johnny got the win, thanks to some distractions, and then, Austin got in a little bit of trouble. Johnny was helping him out, and then Kushida made a save.
And told Johnny, you know, time's up. But yeah, I actually wouldn't mind seeing a full-blown feud between Dexter and Johnny.
It would be interesting.
I would be curious.
Especially with the entire crew and him stalking the entire crew, including Candace and Indy.
Yeah, that would be...
interesting.
I would be curious to see that, because just based on the match that they have with, like, no build, it's like, okay... all right, I respect this. I wouldn't mind seeing more. My interest is piqued. You have my attention.
Shotzi was backstage and talked about her loss earlier in the show, but it's not going to let her bring her down because she's going to win the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. And she knows that Candace and Indy are in the tournament. Well, she had to go searching for a partner. She found Ember Moon.
Okay, sign me up. Think, because it's like, it's Ember and Shotzi, and then who's Tony's partner?
Mercedes Martinez.
Okay.
And it's Casey Catanzaro and... the name will come to me in a second as I look it up.
Caden
Cross? Something like that? Caden Carter.
Yeah. Caden Carter. Yeah. It's great that they made so many teams, but it's also really sad to see the state of the NXT tag team divisions, both men's and women's. Because I think they had to kind of struggle to put stuff together this year. And with good reason, because you couldn't get, like... because I don't think British Strong Style's in it this year.
No, because they're overseas.
By the way, speaking of them...
uh-huh.
Because Peter Dunne is on this show. Did, like, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne just, like, stop going to a barber outside of the pandemic?
Everyone did.
No, this is, like, pre-pandemic, because, like, Pete's hair has grown, like, a foot. And then I saw a picture of Tyler Bate today, and I'm like, what? And Trent Seven's the same. Like, they're all just growing their hair out, and it's really strange. I'm not saying it's bad. I just saw pictures of them, and I'm like, all three of you used to be very well-groomed, and now I'm questioning everything because you're just not.
So, you know, they could be growing it out so they can put it up and square up.
Well, I mean, Pete already had the man bun, so... yeah. Like, Pete's hair is long, man.
It is.
It's really, really long and stringy. Like, Tyler's hair just is this giant blonde mop on the top of his head. And as for Trent, we need to pin Trent 7 down and cut his hair.
So we're backstage, or we're earlier in the day, to sit down between Tommaso and Thatcher. Thatcher's now cleared, and Ciampa's curious as to what Thatcher's injury was, and Thatcher said there's nothing that will affect the fight pit. Barrett wondered if Ciampa made the right decision to fight Thatcher in Thatcher's signature match. He's been in one at a time, so it's his signature match. Ciampa says he's trying to change the locker room culture, and sometimes he has to enter into enemy territory. And then there's some verbal shots back and forth. Fight pit next week.
I mean, I'm excited for this, especially seeing as, you know, Timothy's back and he's okay and everything's good to go. But I don't know if one match makes it your signature match, but then again, if it's really super iconic, I guess it would, because I think, like, especially for like the casket match, the Inferno match, Buried Alive, those Hell in a Cell. Those all kind of became synonymous with like one person. So Fight Pit, okay, yeah, I'll give it to Timothy. Sure, yeah, signature match. Let's go.
It was another round of another match in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. You had Jake Atlas and Isaiah Swerve Scott taking on MSK. Who's MSK, you ask? Well, they were the former Desmond Xavier and Zach Wentz of the Rascals in Impact Wrestling and on the Indies. They're now known as Nash Carter and Wes Lee. That's Wes Lee. Two names. The line of the night was from Vic Joseph's. After Lee did they did some high flying maneuvers. These Rascals are high flying.
Get it in there.
Get it? MSK got the win. That was cool. Cool to see them.
I mean that. Yeah, that was my first exposure to him, so I was like, oh, okay, all right, this is cool, this is fun. So hopefully they move forward in Dusty Classic.
Xia Li destroyed someone in 2 seconds.
And apparently the lady on the, or the person I should say, we shouldn't say it's a lady, it's the person on the throne, did not have enough of the murder because they sent Xia back and forth like 3 times until they were satisfied with the murder.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, how the hell do I get that job?
Just to sit on the throne?
Just to sit on the throne and be creepy. How do I get that job? I could do that so easily.
Inquire? I don't know. Yeah, people break up a brawl between Swerve and Atlas.
Actually, before we go back to that, I know this is like, or move on from that, I have one other thing. What is Boa's role in this? Is he just supposed to take her hat?
Yes.
And be all Matrix looking and stuff? Like, when are they going to let Boa wrestle?
Eventually.
I'm just really curious about that, because they, like, tortured him and shit, and now he just has to stand there and hold her hat. Did he not pass the torture test?
I don't know.
So he's just, like, the keeper of Xia Li's hat, so she doesn't, like, beat his ass?
So explain to me the Scarlet Bordeaux card reading thing.
So she's, like, basically doing, like, tarot cards, or she's more or less talking about Carrion's opponents, and I believe his past, his present, and his future kind of thing, and where he's looking, and that sort of stuff. Like, she looked really cool, and it was a really neat thing. She had a little tiara thing.
All I know is that she found the prince card.
She did find the prince card. And, again, if anybody can give the prince a run for his money, it would be Karrion Kross.
And then in your final match of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic for this week, it was the Undisputed Era's Roderick Strong and Adam Cole. Bye-bye. Taking on Breezango, Tyler Breeze, and Fandango. You had Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, Kyle O'Reilly all out there. Danny Burch was out there. They all played a role in this matchup. There was a point where it's like, wait, did they just cost the Undisputed Era this match? Almost looked like it. But instead, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong were able to pull out the victory. They were torturing, like, Kyle on the outside. It's like, Adam was so torn. It's like, my friend's hurt, but I'm in this match. My friend's hurt, but okay, super kick. Cool. 1, 2, 3. Kyle, are you okay?
You know what that reminds me of?
Hmm.
So we're playing Fortnite, and one of us gets down, and we're in the middle of the fight, and we're just like, just play your game. Play your game. Don't worry about me. We finish it, and we're like, you good?
You good, bro?
You good, bro? Like, that's kind of where that reminds me of it. And Adam did a great job of, like, selling this, where it's like he really did want to get to Kyle, because Kyle's just getting beat up on the outside.
They're going after his arm, going after his jaw.
And they just leave him laying. Like, I'm not sure if they had Kyle take a blood tablet or if his jaw actually did get messed up, but he had, like, blood in his mouth, which was a very nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
To sell, and he was like holding his jaw and everything. So I really liked how they did this. I'm a little sad that Breezango is out, but I very much enjoy this match. I thought all of this was really good. It was a nice setup for the two trios to sort of get involved with each other, plus Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's somebody on the Undisputed. There's at least two somebodies on the Undisputed Era side that are gunning for Finn Balor. So, you know, friends among enemies, I guess, or enemies among friends, however you want to put that for him.
Something like that, yeah. But a solid edition of NXT.
Yeah, I thought this was good. It was entertaining. It moved. Only confused about a couple things, but that's okay, because hopefully we'll learn more as time goes.
Let's go break.
All right, so when we come back, we are going to be doing Tweet of the Week. Plus, we have a discussion. I didn't even tell you what we were discussing. We're going to be talking a little conspiracy theories, namely COVID in wrestling. And we're going to be discussing the other major story that dropped this week. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Yowie wowie, we'll be right back!
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Monday. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great Debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham, Sister Sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried
you know
to
what?
She
fuck
tried,
you.
She tried Look. To break them up.
No. It's not her fault, okay?
It is her, totally her fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't knew anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the Greater Than Great Debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did
Thank
was
you.
Let him know her feelings. She Dude. Didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more Greater Than Great Debates. Saturday nights, midnightish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gore of Wars 2.
Yes! Yes! It happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKANDSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKANSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MDG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MVG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second and you aren't subscribed to us on Twitch, well, you can subscribe for 30 days for free with Prime Gaming. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen to do so. And if you just want to follow, you know, hang out and chat, whatever. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. And, well, coming off the break means one thing. Tweet of the Week.
Well, I
used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Been a minute.
It's been a minute.
'Cause I'm looking through my favorites and it's like, yeah, it's been a minute.
So, WWE on BT Sport, a fitting end to 2020. Seeing Randy Orton set a man on fire. This year has been something. That takes the cake, though. I mean, not a lie. Very fitting into 2020. Marcel. I get a lot of messages asking for advice on growing their YouTube channel. Number one, your videos are too long. Number two, your thumbnails are shit. DiGiorno. We asked in private. Crying face. Marcel. I said keep the pizza in the thumbnail. You didn't listen. DiGiorno. We added pineapple like you said. Crying face. NZXT, and it's a picture of one of their computers. This button does one thing besides turn on the computer. What is it? Intel Gaming. It summons a fresh pizza. DiGiorno. Eyeball looking emoji thing. Intel Gaming. Hey, look! It worked. Manishi, and I'm not sure how you say her name, but it's Cypher PK. It's Mrs. Cypher PK. I love how she has two moods. Not Cypher PK coming home flexing, talking about I'm gonna be a problem when I get ripped. Yeah, MF-er, my problem. Grown ass males still don't know how to turn the laundry machine on. YouTubing how to cook a damn egg. Go to sleep, child. Damn. God bless her.
Yeah.
I love her. Like, I feel like she keeps him in check. She's just like, no. Renee Paquette. Wait, Adam Pearce is going to fight Roman Reigns at Rumble? Take my money. JK, I still have my free subscription. Mustafa Ali. Give me a mic. The follow-up. They wouldn't give me a mic.
Tried.
He did try. He did ask for it.
Next time, lastly, next time say please.
Yeah, or just go take it. WWE Creative Humor. Why would anyone be surprised that Triple H travels with a suit and a leather jacket and Motorhead t-shirt? It's like you people haven't hung around C-level executives before. Hashtag travel woes. I mean, if I don't feel this on a spiritual level, I don't know what else to say. Because this is so stupidly true. Like, it's meant to be funny, but it's so stupidly true.
Uh-huh.
It really is. Anyway, that's all I have.
So, all the way back in December, I went, oh, that was a funny hashtag I wanted to go look at. We haven't done Tweet a Week in a month. I didn't go through that hashtag, so there's only one from it.
Aw.
From Link Operator, I'll need you to sanitize my back when you're finished. Hashtag dumb request after sex. And sending something to Lindsay, because there's a picture to go along with that.
No, God, no! No, why would you send me a picture? Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't even need to open that up. Like, what the actual fuck?
Anyway, it's not that graphic. It's not graphic, chat. Calm down.
I mean, I will say this. At least they're using projection.
They are. Hands, face, and probably everywhere else. One would assume.
One would hope.
Eric from the Regulators. Earlier today, I saw a couple making out on the train. With mask on. Peak 2020.
Ew.
Star Wars tweeted, the book of Boba Fett, a new original series starring yada 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 and yada 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 is coming out. Yada yada. Don't really care. Dr. Lupo, Epic really changing the game. That's crazy. Courage, at Dr. Lupo. They made a show about the guy from Fortnite. I hope that hurt Brent Soul, because I know he's listening. I hope you heard that one. Symphony. I just went and asked my dad a question and said, hey, chat, I'm done. Field Yates. Other than Jalen Hurts' knee being clearly and obviously down, that definitely was a fumble. Wow, that's as far back as that went. Okay, that's just 1 minute. The Man Perry 21. Nobody flossed with Ninja on New Year's, and then we got punished with 2020. Let this be a lesson. Facts. Scott Stanford. Got two casting notices this morning. First one for people dealing with menopause and one for an expert at BMX biking. A real pro could pull these both off. Piece of cake. Tony Hawk. At a COVID testing site, wearing masks, handing over paperwork for me and the two kids, two of my kids. Woman looking over papers. Okay, Anthony, Keegan, Caden, Cadence. Hawk? Are you guys related to Tony Hawk? Me, yes. Are you, her, are you pulling my leg? Me, no, we are all directly related to him. Brooke A.B. So jealous of everyone in 2021 right now. Courage J.D. Lamau, Brooke 2021 is lit. I just took my flying car to the grocery store. ProWrestling.net. Happy New Year. Insert something about how much 2020 sucked, followed by an inspirational message of hope regarding 2021. Fact. These are all facts. Saquon Barkley. Can someone make sense? Can someone make it make sense to me what's going on? Eli Manning. This is why we don't like the Eagles. Fletcher Cox. We don't like you either. Richard Triumfo. Announcer. Jeff is paying tribute to the legends tonight. Everyone. Is he wearing a Life Alert bracelet? Someone tweeted Cardi B going, ask WWE put real Melina in a ring. Cardi B. Melina? The one that used to do splits entering the ring?
Yep, that'd be her.
Dr. Lupo. 2021 trying to get nominated for craziest sequel ever.
Yeah, no, it can stop. Like, it can chill.
This was January 6th. So, Kevin Murray, this DLC is crazy. Sorry, chat. This one's going to hurt. Kyle Lewis. Trump is currently looking for those 10 free hours of AOL CDs. H. Goldbach, I can't believe one of the extras from Home Alone 2 Lost in New York was kicked off Twitter.
Damn.
The lone blockbuster. We are officially terminating Donald J. Trump's blockbuster account and will seek litigation to collect his $35,670.42 in late fees. I mean, you know. K. Nolan, imagine if the Falcons were good and we got to see Alex Mack in the Nickelodeon game. Jessica Blevins, we just dropped off baby Cloudy to get neutered. Dr. Lupo, F in chat for his balls.
Aww.
And Lindsay, I'm sorry.
Why?
Sorry.
Why?
Scrolling back down to the tweet.
No.
Richard Triumfo. How do you know you are a Falcons fan? If they ask for change for a dollar and are shocked there is a fourth quarter.
It's sad, but it's true.
It's, yeah.
Hey, you know, at least I can admit my team's faults, namely that they don't play four quarters of football. You know, I'm not in denial, unlike some other teams out there. Like, we know we're bad. We know we suck, but we still try.
Just not for
four quarters.
Four quarters. All right. This is the part of the show. By the way, that was Tweet of the Week. This is the part of the show presented by MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211, where I like to entitle it Lindsay Rants. Because earlier this week, there was a story that broke out about one of the AEW superstars known as Chris Jericho. I think you kind of heard of him once or twice in the world. Who announced that back in September, he tested positive maybe. For COVID-19.
No, get it right. September, maybe.
Maybe September. Maybe.
He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember for sure. Maybe September. And there are questions surrounding said event. This is where I turn the stage over to Lindsay. And go.
So, I mainly wanted to rant on this, and this is going to turn into a larger rant. I'm just going to say this first. I want to rant about this because the way that this came out was an incredibly flippant and almost irresponsible way to drop this news, that he just really casually threw it out there. And then he followed it up with nobody knew.
So the backstory was he was talking to a doctor on his podcast. Go.
Yes, about COVID specifically. And he very casually dropped it on there that he got it back in September. Maybe he's not sure. And that, you know, he didn't tell anybody. And mind you, he worked for AEW in September.
All month.
All whatever, four shows that they had for them.
So they were taping at the end of August into September, which included a TV taping in the beginning of the month, a pay-per-view on that weekend, and then another 2 days of TV before going off on break for 2 weeks. That was the schedule.
So it was like the 9th. Through the 12th, is that right?
So no, the last TV taping was on the 10th. So he was there from the 2nd to the 10th.
And then he was gone for 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks, 10 days.
10 days, and then he was back.
10, 11 days, depending on when travel was.
And then he was back in Jacksonville
On the 23rd. So he was done on the 10th and then back on the 23rd.
So based on that schedule, I'm not saying he did it. I'm not accusing him of doing it directly. What I'm saying is there is a very real possibility that he worked AEW with COVID. And if that's the case, and if he lied to his employer, because at least I know for multiple employers, if you do get it, you are required to report it, that you do have it. So if nothing else, they can go ahead and they can make allowances for you if you need to take time or anything like that to recover. At least that's the way my work handles it, is they do request that you report it to your manager. I don't think it's necessarily like you have to tell them, but they do, if you need to take the time, they do ask that you tell your manager or somebody that you trust.
Manager,
I need a manager, you know, to basically help you recover. If you need to take the time off, or if you just need to take a minute or whatever, just so that way they know, especially for anybody that's like going into the office, so they can go ahead and let the office know that this person isn't going to be in for like 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the recuperation time due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine AEW and a lot of other companies are probably operating under a very similar sort of protocol to what our company is doing. But I can't speak for everybody, but that's not the point. The point is that it's a very real possibility Chris Jericho could have worked AEW with COVID. And here's why I say this. One, he was at Sturgis in the beginning of August, and that's a very real, he could have gotten exposed to it there. It's a 3 to 12 day incubation period. So that would put him mid to end of August leading into September. That's unlikely where he got it. He's saying he got it, I think, from a family friend. Is that right?
He got it from a family friend, correct.
And I'm trying not to yell about this. Like, I'm actually trying to be very civilized about this. I went off on it last night. There's a lot more profanity that went off with this last night, but I'm trying to be very polite and civil about this. But the gist of it is that essentially Chris Jericho could have worked AEW with COVID.
Because
not only did he get the one test confirming that he had it, he got 3 additional tests telling him that he did, in fact, have it. And the way that he phrased it was that I just got the test to get the test. You just don't wake up and say, I'm going to get a COVID test for shits and giggles. You get a COVID test when you find out that you've been exposed, when you've been traveling.
Which is what happened. So what he said on his podcast and what actually happened, what he said, did, are 2 different things. So one, he's putting out his own wrong message, and then 2, having to clarify for him, not himself, someone else, clarify his own stupid words. He went, because he was exposed, the story, he was exposed to a family friend who tested positive. He then went to get 3 tests in a 10-day span. That is incorrect, because we don't know how many tests he took. He got 3 positive tests in that span.
Yeah, for sure. You don't do that unless you're looking for a negative, which indicates that he was probably looking to go work AEW at some point, or he's looking to go do something. I'm not saying he did it. I'm not accusing him of doing it. What I'm saying is that there's the possibility he did it. And if that's the case, it demonstrates a level of irresponsibility on his part, because according to him, he was asymptomatic, right? He wasn't having any issues. He wasn't having any problems. He was asymptomatic. He was fine. But he was still contagious, and he had still been exposed. And if he went to work with COVID, that's incredibly dangerous, especially because there was an outbreak in AEW in September.
So you mentioned one thing to me earlier, and I think it's a valid point we need to mention.
Hmm.
How you mentioned how, since that's the case of him, he saw a family friend, and then they were positive test, so he went to get his test. So he finished TV, I guess, because this is the only explanation of where it fits, is finished TV on the 10th and then got tested. That would make sense. I don't know why right after you coming off of TV just tested, you go in and get one, but he got it after his friend tested. Okay, fine, whatever. So that had to be on the 11th or 12th, just going on timeline. You mentioned the time frame of the best time to get tested is 5 to 7 days after you were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a timeline of... Okay, so if he was exposed on the 11th, did he go get the test on the 12th, maybe? Okay, so if he was exposed on the 11th and got the positive test on the 12th, I don't think he would have got the positive test on the 12th one day after being exposed, because it takes a few days.
Yeah, there's an incubation period.
It takes a couple days to feel the effects and to get it. it's not instantaneously. It's like the flu and everything. It takes a minute. So, okay, let's go off time frame. So he was back home on the 11th, sees a friend probably on the 11th. Okay, so now gets a test on the 12th. I don't know.
It's very mysterious. It was very almost carelessly done because he just threw it away. And I don't know if he threw it out there, just throw it out there. I don't know if he wasn't thinking. But at least to me, this kind of pulls and kind of calls AEW's COVID protocols somewhat into question, but not fully. Because there's two sides to this. If Jericho knew and he never told AEW, like he never informed them of his condition, he never informed them that he's sick, because there was a period where that he could self-isolate, quarantine, he never would have been at TV, it would have been fine, but he still didn't tell them. That demonstrates a level of irresponsibility, because regardless of that incubation period, he still went to work. Now, they tested him when he went to work, and he tested negative, and they allowed him to work. But if they didn't know that he just recovered from COVID, they need to have a talk with him about that. Because what if he had shown up TV with it? What if he had exposed people to it? Think of with already one COVID outbreak going on that may or may not be tied to him in part. Now you're going to roll up with it again, or with it for the first time. That's not cool. That's not cool at all. The other side of this is that AEW did know and they let him work, or they didn't test him. Like, I don't know. This is where the second half of the rant is that this is just like, cause I have to take my glasses off for this. This is like another medical issue in a long line of medical issues in the past 12 months for them that I just kind of am questioning everything with them medically, because there have been a lot of cover-ups in terms of injuries, in terms of problems, in terms of now Chris Jericho getting COVID and nobody knowing, which that's certainly his right. He doesn't have to blast it all over the internet that he had COVID-19, right?
Tell your damn employer.
Yeah, but it's like at the same time, did AEW know or did they not know? That's the million-dollar question. Did they know or did they not know? And that's why I'm not necessarily looping this in, but this is just another... This is another medical problem on top of the list that they've already had just in the past 12 months. Never mind prior to that, before they really got up and running. So I'm really wondering if it's safe there. Like, I really have genuine concerns about just stuff you see, stuff you hear, stuff that's coming out about it, that it's like, is it really that safe?
You have to wonder.
You have to wonder. You really do, because it's like you had a guy get clean knocked out, and then he, like, came out, what, like, a month later? And he was like, oh, yeah, I was fine. I was totally fine. It was scripted. I was just selling. No, bro, you weren't selling. You were out. And then there's the whole Matt Hardy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, oh yeah, no, he's fine, he's fine, he's not in a concussion, or he doesn't have a concussion, but he was in the hospital, but he's fine, nothing's wrong with him, he's good. And then he didn't wrestle for what, a month, 6 weeks,
something like that. Yeah,
but he's fine, he's totally fine,
everything's fine,
everything's great. The unprotected chair shot to Cody, Darby Alley getting pitched in a body bag with thumbtacks in there where he can't see or protect himself. The list goes on and on and on in terms of stupidity and craziness and not smart decisions in terms of moves and medical and everything else. I don't know. I seriously wonder. Because, like, here's the thing, and this is all hypothetical, but if Jericho worked with COVID, he went to work. They didn't test him, because that is another real possibility. Jericho just didn't get tested. He may have gone. They may have just let him have the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Been like, yeah, no, you're probably good. I'm sure that's not the case. I don't want to accuse them of anything, because they supposedly have a very strict policy in terms of COVID and how they test, but they could have given Jericho the bye.
I don't think they did. Just to be clear, I don't think they gave him bye. They test everybody, but you have to wonder when they tested, because they had been there for a week doing stuff. So did they test every single day, or did they just test, right before the pay-per-view and hoped everyone was, safe?
Because here's the thing. For the movie productions that they do here in Atlanta, because they have resumed filming here in a limited capacity, the way that it's working here is that they test you like 2 days before you're supposed to show up to the shoot, and then they test you on site.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get there the day of the shoot. So you actually have to do at least two COVID tests while you're there. or while you're working on the project. And that's if you're only doing like one day. So I would guess that they might be testing them anywhere from 24 to 48 hours before the show. And then they might be doing the same thing where it's like they test them the day of the show, but it all depends on how fast they can get it back.
Because there's been instances where people have taken the test and the results haven't come back. There was an incident with Tony Schiavone where he wasn't clear to work the show, even though he didn't have it. His test never came back.
And that might have been something with Jericho. We don't know. Like, this whole thing is a mystery, and of course nobody's going to offer up any details, because then that is going to add some accountability to this of really how did this get through. But considering the fact that there was a COVID outbreak in AEW in September, I don't want to blame Jericho for it, but he either got it because of that outbreak, because Nick Jackson had it as well. I think we all knew, but he officially confirmed it.
We all
kind of had it.
Yeah, he was disappearing, and all we saw was Lightfoot doing his stuff for a couple weeks.
Yeah, they tried a thing; it didn't quite work. But he had it. He confirmed it. Several other people got it in the company. They confirmed it. So it's like Jericho could have been a part of that group, and he could have gotten it from a family friend. But just the whole timeline of this is really, really disturbing. Just because if they did let him work with it, that just calls everything into question that they're doing. And mm-hmm. that kind of shreds their credibility just a little bit, at least in my opinion. And I could be completely wrong. And I don't want to call them out. I don't want to accuse them of anything. I'm not accusing them of anything. I'm just saying that if that's what happened, it's incredibly irresponsible. But it's another medical issue on top of a crap ton of other medical issues over the past 12 months. It really, really, truly is. And it gives me pause and it makes me worry.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. But also, it's like, Jericho, I have issues with him to begin with.
Many do.
But it's like, why would you do that? Because, like, here's the thing on the flip side of him is, like, we all know that he's kind of a little bit of a COVID denier. He worked Sturgis in August, of which, 250,000 cases are now linked to and growing because of that little stunt. And yeah, he basically did the podcast talking about, you know, how with this doctor about COVID and the response and kind of going against what the current advice is, which that's fine. That's his right. He can do whatever the hell he wants on his own show. But just the flippantness of it, the arrogance of it, the oh yeah, I had it back in September, maybe. What do you mean maybe? You don't remember? How do you not remember when you got it? Like, that would be a pretty memorable thing to be told that you have COVID.
Yeah.
Because depending on what straw you draw on it, you could be fine or you could be not fine. Like, that's how this goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that you would remember, oh yeah, I had it, maybe not the exact date, maybe not the exact time, but oh yeah, I had COVID in like the first week of September, which now makes me wonder, did he have it more than once? That's the other side of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many questions coming from this. It's like, dude, you could have just, you know, not thrown that out there. But he did. I don't know why he did, but he did. And now we're all wondering and we're all questioning and we're having this entire conversation about, you know, specific irresponsibilities. And I don't want to have that conversation, but it makes you wonder and it gives you pause in terms of everything that they're doing right now, which is not what you want. You don't want their medical protocols being called into question. And also there's the whole, you know, they were talking shit.
Sloppy
back
shop.
Sloppy shops and everything else.
They're spinning stories about blaming WWE for their outbreak.
Yeah.
That was the story that came out when everyone got it, and, you know, oh, it's WWE's fault.
One, no, it's not, because the bars were reopened, and just basically tell your talent not to go to the bars, and, you know, they stand a higher risk of not getting it, but that's just me. But yeah, there's so much with this, and it's so stupid, and it's all just, it all goes back to, if you just kept your mouth shut, none of this would have ever happened. But it's Jericho's right, and he can talk about whatever he wants. But just the flippance, I think, that just annoys me with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's the arrogance of it. It's like, really? Really? You're throwing that out there, especially in light of recent events that took place over the last 6 weeks with AEW? You're just going to put that out there?
Yes.
Like, come on. Come on.
Come on, bro.
So, yeah. It's not the best discussion, but it's just me ranting in the most polite, non-accusatory manner possible about things. Because, yeah, you just had to do it. You just had to do thing. You just had to put it out there.
So with that, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I guess that's where I plug the shows now.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Midnight Edition, is another edition of Steve Barreto featuring the Intern's Corner and the Greater Than Great Debate, greaterthangreatdebate.com. Coming up in just a couple minutes will be Fortnite with Friends. We are doing Fortnite with Friends. So you have that to look forward to. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will discuss, is Charlotte Flair overrated? Tim will defend his opinion on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's a Raw Post at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. Speaking of things we need to talk about, hey, chat, you want to be a part of the Royal Rumble entry contest? You can just say yes in chat or tweet us at Wild Talk Radio or go to facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network and you can be a part of the Royal Rumble entry contest. Hey, Matt's in. Congrats, Matt. That's all you... It's that simple.
It's that simple.
That simple. So there you go. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, chat, another thing. Have you heard of something called Prime Gaming? That's when you link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and then you can hit that purple rectangular button below the screen and subscribe for free by hitting it. Yeah. You can also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
You follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWarren, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. Everybody that's listening live, sit tight because we are going to squad up and we are going to play Fortnite with friends. But if you're listening to the VOD or the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.